do we work or do we pray? Do we pray or do we work? See if we can answer that question tonight. Let's turn to Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Then I'll read a few verses from Psalm 119. Also, keep your hymnal nearby. We're going to go back and look at that in your Trinity hymnal in a moment. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. A song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And then applying this even to our directly to our hearts. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. Now if you'll turn back in your Bibles a few pages, Psalm 119. Remember, for several weeks we looked at, we looked at 11 to, or 9 to 16. Today we're going to do Psalm 119, 33 to 37. Psalm 119, 33 to 37. And we know that this is a psalm about the Word of God, God's precepts, God's laws. Notice the prayerful tone of these verses, 33 to 37. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, as we consider your word this evening, we pray that you would write it upon our hearts, you would apply it to our lives, that it would be delightful to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about prayer this week and the next few. Actually, you know, let's just go jump right in. Take your Trinity hymnal, turn to page 860. We're going to see how our framers of our confession, a couple of things they said about prayer, and then we'll boil it down with the question from the catechism. So page 860, do we work or do we pray? Well, on page 860, we have chapter 21 of our confession of faith, which particularly is talking about religious worship and the Sabbath day or the Lord's day. But this would apply beyond the Lord's day also. Look at the bottom of the page, page 860, chapter 21 of the confession, section 3. We're going to read sections 3 and 4 together. I think we can do it. So down there where it says prayer. Prayer, with thanksgiving, being one special part of religious worship, is by God required of all men. And that it may be accepted, it is to be made in the name of the Son, by the help of his Spirit, according to his will, with understanding, reverence, humility, fervency, faith, love, and perseverance, and if vocal, in a known tongue. The next section is about prayer also. Let's read it. Prayer is to be made for things lawful, and for all sorts of men living, or that shall live hereafter, but not for the dead, nor for those of whom it may be known that they have sinned the sin unto death. So that first section we read up, thanksgiving made by all through the Son with the help of the Spirit, with fervency, faith, love, perseverance. Now turn, I want you to answer this one with me. Turn over to 877, kind of like we do in the morning. Question 98, at the top of the page, page 877. I'm going to ask the question. Let's all answer it together. Question 98 of the Shorter Catechism. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. See, that's why they put it in the question and answer. That kind of boils down what I just read from the other pages. The larger catechism only adds one phrase, with the help of his Spirit. So that's prayer. Offering our desires to God, we're acknowledging it has to be agreeable to his will for him to answer. In the name of Christ, with the help of the Spirit, includes confession, thanksgiving. Confession and thanksgiving. So, do we work or do we pray? Well, we do both. We're going to get back to our passage, but just like in that last verse of the sweet hour of prayer, it said, discussed wings. It mentioned wings. So imagine two wings, dependent discipline. Since you're facing this way, we'll have the left wing here, our plane flying this way, our bird flying this way. Dependence, the left wing. By praying, we're acknowledging that we're in need. We need help from outside of ourselves. We do not have the resources internally nor the physical resources to have all we need. We need help. And so not unlike, remember the bookends. I've been discussing the bookends. Christ's righteousness, and then which is applied to us, imputed to us, and then the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So similarly with prayer, you know, our plane's flying that way up. Dependency. We have nothing that we can add. We need help. So we are dependent discipline. But there is a part of prayer. Prayer is something we actually do. It's a discipline. And so here on the right wing, that way we have the discipline of prayer. This is an appointed means by God. It's the way that we make our requests known to him, through prayer. Now, our confession, our answer to our confession really lists some of those things we normally think of in prayer. I usually just, that old acrostic ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You can't go wrong with that, with those elements of prayer. And so we pray. Prayer is obviously a spiritual action, but it's also a physical action, isn't it? As any of you like me who pray, you're having your prayer time, and what often happens? We, just like the apostles, right? The disciples, our eyes get heavy. The physical, it takes work. Prayer takes work. It takes the work even of staying physically awake. It's also a mental action, because what happens in our minds? Oh, our minds try to wander on us, don't they? Thank the Lord for his grace, right? That even as we pray, he'll help us. So it's a spiritual, a physical, a mental action. And again, just like that bookend, the power of the Holy Spirit. So in prayer, we're asking for his power. We're asking him to pray with us, like he tells us in Romans 8 that he will do, offering prayers, even groans for us. Well, Jerry Bridges puts it like this: prayer is the tangible expression of our dependence. Prayer is the tangible expression of our dependence. Now, Bridges goes on. We may assent to the fact that we are dependent on Christ, but if our prayer life is meager or perfunctory, we thereby deny it. We are in effect saying we can handle most of our spiritual life with our own self-discipline and perceived innate goodness. That is, if we say that we need prayer, we need God, but yet we don't actually pray. And so we pray. Prayer is dependent discipline. So do we work or do we pray? Well, Psalm 127, 1 and 2, I think, answers that for us. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It doesn't say don't build. I mean, if we don't get out there and get the lumber, get the bricks, get the nails, get the shingles, and get out there and put them together, then the house isn't going to go up, is it? But yes, it still does acknowledge, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. I think we've just sung about this idea, and we've even prayed about it. Both of these things go together. We do our work, we do it under the Lord, we do it prayerfully, and if God's with us, then it will not be in vain. That could be the positive way of saying it. If the Lord is with you building the house, then it is not built in vain. It is built to His glory and to our good. But still, human effort is ultimately useless apart from the agency of God. Then verse 2. Again, this is more of an aside, but I wanted to include it because it's an important part. It's not the main point tonight, but it is a point. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. When we're relying on the Lord, then it eliminates that anxiety, doesn't it? When we're prayerful, when we've been praying, with the help of His Spirit, according to His will, by His grace, then we don't have to worry. In fact, I mention this one regularly. What does Paul say? Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything, pray. So do we work or do we pray? Well, we do both, obviously. We work and we pray. Now, I'm not talking about working for our salvation. In this, we're talking about salvation is complete and has been applied to us. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. Now, how do we continue to live the Christian life? Through prayer and through God's grace and through discipline, through work. Another illustration, the farmer. And this is a really good illustration for this, I think. I mean, think about if you're going to grow. If anyone here farmed? We had a pretty good garden in Louisville. Any farmers? I mean, think about it. To farm, you have to plow the field. Then you have to plant. And you have to have some seeds. Here's a whole other, you have to have seeds. Those seeds had to come from somewhere. So you plow the field. You have to have seeds to place in it. You cover them up with dirt, and then you fertilize it over the course of time. Irrigate it, cultivate it. This is a lot of work. Ultimately, you'll harvest it. In the meantime, you have this thing called the weather. Now, all those things I just mentioned, you do. God doesn't do that for you. He doesn't plow, plant, fertilize, irrigate, cultivate. No, I'm not talking about us going into the land of Canaan where He had done a little bit of that for Him ahead of time. I'm talking about everyday life, farming. Then the weather. I mean, even if you have an irrigation system, we're still dependent on God for the weather. In fact, I was told before I went to Clarksville, Mississippi, by one of my professors at RTS, who's actually from Wales. He said it in his Welsh accent. They'll tell you they'll pray that it'll rain, and then they'll pray that it'll stop raining. They'll tell you, Pastor, pray that it'll rain. Then they'll say, Pastor, pray that it'll stop raining. Especially those big, loaves of cotton. It looks like a big loaf of bread. You don't want those to get ruined by the rain. So all that are things that we do. But then imagine the growth. We can't make that seed sprout and grow. We can't. Even if we do all those things I just mentioned, even irrigating, even, spraying water on it if it's hot. So we spray water out of the hose, which of course we acknowledge that God made that possible. We cannot make that thing grow. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. We work and we pray. We pray and we work. Jesus, using the gardening metaphor, listen to what He said in John 15, 4 and 5. Yeah, these are strong words. Abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. We grow through our abiding in Him and Him in us. He's the vine, we're the branches, and then we produce fruit. But what a statement. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. Even for those of us here at a Presbyterian church that have had decades of being taught that we are saved by grace through faith, it is not of ourselves, it's the gift of God that no one may boast. Yet that's hard to hear, isn't it? Apart from Me, you can do nothing. The Reformation Study Bible note says this: the total inability of the unregenerate sinner makes saving grace absolutely necessary for the beginning, the progress and the completion of salvation. So in particular here we're talking about that the progress and the completion, our sanctification, our growing in grace. So to paraphrase John Owen, listen how he put it again. This is kind of brought to our language today because he wrote in rather verbose language. Listen. Let us consider what regard we ought to have toward our own duty and to the grace of God. Okay? Our own duty and to the grace of God. Some would separate these things as inconsistent. If holiness be our duty, they would say there's no room for grace. And if it be the result of grace, there's no place for duty. But our duty and God's grace are nowhere opposed in the matter of sanctification. For the one absolutely supposes the other. We cannot perform our duty without the grace of God. Nor does God give grace for any other purpose than that we may perform our duty. That word duty's fallen on hard times probably, but it's a good word. We do have duties. And with God's grace working in us, with His Spirit helping us, we can do our duties with joy. He gives us grace that we may do our duties. We do our duties because of His grace. For several weeks, we looked at that passage in Psalm 119 about the Word, the different aspects of God's Word. Notice in what I read today, Psalm 119, 33 to 37, that the same principle we're thinking about today. Do I pray or do I work? Well, do I read my Bible or do I pray and ask God's help with His Word? Well, we do both. We read the Bible and we ask for God's help. Notice the prayers in 33 to 37. Each of those verses does concern God's Word. But notice, each one is a prayer. A prayer of dependence on God that He would help His Word to be manifest in our lives. I'm going to go back now to Psalm 119, 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. That's a prayer. Teach me. That's the prayer. Teach me, Lord. If you will teach me, then I have the capacity to keep it. So, Lord, teach me. There's a prayer. 34. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and that I may observe it with my whole heart. First he says, teach me. Now he says, give me understanding. It's a prayer. Lord, give me understanding. If you give me understanding, then I can keep and observe your law with my whole heart. 35. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Lord, I need you to lead me. I have to read them. You call upon me to read them. You call upon me to pray. Lord, lead me. Teach me. Give me understanding. Lead me. 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Left to myself, I won't be inclined to your testimonies. I will pursue my own gain, but with your help, Lord, if you incline my heart, then I'll seek the good of others and your glory. 37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. So these are our prayers. The psalmist here, though he is writing a beautiful poem on God's word, an acrostic, yet he prays. And so I'm going to bring up John Owen again here. And this is, I think, really applicable to that, to the fact that we're praying here for God's help to us in understanding His words. Here's what John Owen said. The actual aid and internal operation of the Spirit of God is necessary to produce every holy act of our minds, wills, and emotions in every duty whatsoever. The actual aid and internal operation of the Spirit of God is necessary to produce every holy act of our minds, wills, and emotions in every duty whatsoever. Notwithstanding the power or ability that believers have received by the principle of new life implanted at salvation. Okay, he's saying every act of our mind, of our will, of our emotions, all of our duties, we need the Spirit of God to be at work. And he acknowledges, yes, we did receive new life when we were regenerated, when we became Christians, but, and he finishes like this, they will stand in need, this is us, all who have been made new in Christ, we yet stand in need of the divine enablement of the Holy Spirit in every single act or duty toward God. So do we work or do we pray? Well, we do both. Because unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor build it in vain. If we build, though, with prayerful spirits, with His word upon our hearts, our building will not be in vain. It will be to His glory and to our good. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Do we still post a watchman? Yes. But we pray. We pray for God's grace, for God's protection. We offer Him thanksgiving. We confess our sins and repent of them. We work, but we also pray. We pray to the one who hears our prayers, to the one who tells us, don't be anxious, but pray. Independent discipline, we pray. Let's do that right now. Lord, we pray now. We need your help. We need your help for every duty you call upon us to follow. For all those oughts of the Christian life, we need your help. But thank you that with your Spirit working within us, we can perform all of the oughts, all of the ought-tos, all of the duties of the Christian life with a joyful heart, because it's to lift you up, to glorify you. But for us, we get the enjoyment of you forever. So we pray this in Christ's name.